Okay, Beth is our speaker today. She'll speak on position of neutrality. Go ahead, I'll give you a 5-minute warning when your time is almost up.
Thanks, Sandy. Hi, everyone. My name is Beth and I identify as an alcoholic. My sobriety date is August 1st of 2017. That was a day that a loving God that I didn't want, definitely didn't think I needed and wanted nothing to do with, separated me from alcohol. I live life forwards and I understand it backwards. And it's thanks to working the BBA program, taking these steps, turning these statements into questions, that one of my favorite topics here, that's going to be from page 85. It says, we feel as though we have been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. And I have to ask myself that often, because my life can get unmanageable real quick and I can get agnostically inclined in certain areas of my life. And so the goal for me wasn't just for me to stop drinking, but to become spiritually awakened with a degree of detachment from my narcissistic emotional responses, or as Richard Rohr would call it, our narcissistic reactions. And so when I did my fourth step, and on page 64, it says, being convinced that self manifested in various ways was what had defeated us, we considered its common manifestations. I wasn't able to bring into my own consciousness or have any type of awareness that I was an approval addiction junkie, that I've been running my life on self-will and been the creator of chaos and drama and actually addicted to living like that. I would have never have called myself a people pleaser, as my sponsor likes to tell me, I'm an approval addiction junkie. I would have never said those things. I would have never said that I had an aspect of codependency to me. I just thought I was angry because I grew up being told I was an angry child. You know, so it wasn't until I got down in black and white that I began to see, as Bill's emotional sobriety letter says, that see, I demand from you to make me feel okay, that I have these faulty emotional dependencies and that I erroneously believe that my well-being is based on what's happening or what's not happening. And I'll give you a couple stories, because in Alcoholics Anonymous, we are storytellers, right? And that's how I relate best, is by hearing other people's stories. So I had no idea that what I run my thought process through is through old ideas and beliefs. The result was nil until we let go, absolutely. That I have a bunch of narratives or stories that I tell myself, and some of them are based on past experiences that scare the heck out of me. And that a lot of the times these things produce guilt, shame, and remorse. So being convinced that self is what had defeated me, I had to consider its common manifestations. And I have to ask myself how many times these things come up for me, because I call them, instead of calling myself a defective character, I like to say that I have defaults or defenses that I automatically go to, those narcissistic emotional reactions. See, I've never had relationships with people. I've always had reactionships. I don't know how to respond. I only know how to react. Because deep down inside, when I get underneath what's really going on within me, I begin to see that I'm demanding things out of you to make me feel okay for my self-esteem. That my ambition, you need to act this way for me to be okay, for my security. And so I end up getting a new job during COVID, and I end up going through the work again, because this new job, I had no idea that I had all these underlying fears and unconscious old ideas and beliefs that I should somehow be perfect and I should be the shining star as soon as I join this job, which is fantasy thinking. I have a new job, I have a new role to learn, and I have a lot of new systems to acquire. But I end up rushing to get a project done when I had about 6 months into the job. And because I rushed, I made a lot of mistakes. And my boss was very blunt to me. And I took a lot of the things she said personally. And when I take things personally, which it happens to be one of my defenses, I can't see anything but whether I'm right and she's wrong. I can't see some of her points are valid, because I'm so into my head about having to prove myself as good or enough or okay at what I do. So I couldn't also see and take responsibility for the fact that I rushed to do this job, was rushing out of fear. I didn't have time to stop and ask for help. I had fear of disappointing her. So I rushed and I made so many mistakes to prove that I'm worthy and I'm good. So a lot of these old ideas and beliefs, the result was nil until I got down in black and white, especially in that third column where I look at my self-esteem, my pride, my ambition, my security, my personal relations. I would have never told you that I'm afraid of not being enough, that I have old ideas and beliefs that it's not safe to be me, or I'm always last or left out, or no matter how hard I try, it's never enough, or life is just not fair and it always sucks. And I've got always and never in my vocabulary. And so I can't see that my rushing set in a chain of circumstances which I felt I did not deserve. And so the truth is that I'm also afraid of falling short or not meeting someone's expectations. My mom in point, my mom and I have had a rocky relationship all my life. My mom is not one of us, but she behaves like one of us. As our book says, the whole family is to some extent ill. My mom has her own mental issues. My mom, like me, is perhaps spiritually sick, but I could never see it. I got married last May. I have to choose, do I invite my mom to my wedding or do I not invite my mom to my wedding? See, if I invite my mom to my wedding, she's going to see my dad that she was married to for 30 years. My dad left my mom for a deaf woman. There's a lot of resentment going on there between my mom and my dad leaving her after 30 years for a deaf woman. And because my mom, like me, is perhaps spiritually sick, she has a lot of resentments like I did until I got down in black and white what was really going on. So I know that if I invite my mom to my wedding, that there's going to be drama because she's going to see that woman. My mom shows up the same way I showed up before I had a spiritual awakening, which was full of drama, running on emotions, operating on fear, looking for some kind of power when lack of power is my dilemma. So I know that if I invite my mom to the wedding, there's going to be drama. I know that if I don't invite my mom to the wedding, it's also going to be painful. And quite often we face a road, two roads, two splits in the road, and neither one of them looks like a good decision. Where both choices I have to make, neither one is going to make me happy and feel okay. And so what I've learned through connecting to a God of my understanding and through people that walk this spiritual path with me is that I often have to make decisions and I have to choose the one that gives me more peace, or said another way, the one that sucks less. And so it is through prayer and meditation that I decided with God that what kept coming up for me was the one that sucks less is invite my mom to the wedding, even though there may be drama and chaos. And that's not my job to fix, manage, and control, but I'm going to have to get real right with God in order to be able to handle it and not take her personally. And so I sit down with my sponsor because I don't go this road alone, and we hash out the way I'm going to invite my mom to the wedding. And I give my mom an out and I say, I understand that you haven't seen him and you don't like his wife, and if you don't want to be there, I will understand. Well, my mom, like me, hears things through a prison of defects of character that colors the way she hears things, right? Because I often hear things based on old ideas and beliefs and narrative of my past, whatever. And so I'm aware of these things today, thanks to the BBA's four-step, but I never had them in my consciousness. And so I get prepared and I say it to my mom and I give her this out. And my mom doesn't hear me. What my mom hears is something that I don't even know what she hears, but all I know is that I get a whole bunch of cursing at me and she's not going to show up at my wedding. And what I do know from this program is that I can't just let go, let God, and let things roll right off my back. I can't spiritually bypass things anymore. I have to learn how to deal with my feelings and allow them to do their worst for me. You know, when I first came in here, my four words for feelings were mad, glad, happy, and sad. Today, I have a much more deeper vocabulary of what it is that I'm feeling, and I'm able to express that and bring that to God, lay my wounds on God instead of on everyone else today. But I've got to sit with my feelings and let them do their worst to me. Because if I just get involved in service, and let go, let God, and let stuff roll right off my back, the stuff has a way of resurfacing and not in a pleasant way. And so because I'm an approval addiction junk here, as the big book calls self-seeking, I was sad and I was upset that my mom wasn't going to be at my wedding. I think every little girl wants her mom at her wedding. And I'm an only child. I don't have much family. So I called my mom a week later and I asked her if she wanted to sign her marriage certificate and at least see some dresses. My mom said, yeah, sure, she would love to. And then the day came around to sign the marriage certificate. And I got the typical phone call where my mom couldn't show up even to sign that marriage certificate. I'm thankful for a big family in AA where I had a sober sister come and sign that marriage certificate and look at dresses with me. But see, I still have fantasy thinking about what a mom should be. And that fourth step reveals to me that I have a lot of old ideas about how a mom should be. And I've been shooting all over the place my entire life. I should, they should, the world should. And that's how I play God. And so when I really look at my fourth step and I begin to see the expectations that I have and how I want to play God, because I have old ideas and beliefs of what a mom should be, I can start turning that stuff over to God. But I got to stop making my mom my higher power. That God is my higher power. God is my new employer at work. God is my father. I am his child. And so I get over the sadness for a little while and I end up being present for my wedding. A few weeks before my wedding, I find out that my stepmother, the deaf woman, who's a professional photographer that was going to take pictures at my wedding, she's rushed off to Wills Eye Hospital in Philadelphia and she has a detached retina. She's no longer going to be able to take pictures at my wedding. And because it's prom season here, I call photographers, but I'm not able to find a photographer. And I feel that sadness and that disappointment. Am I living in the world of the spirit? Am I attached to things in the material world? Or am I living in the fourth dimension where I am safe and protected, placed in a position of neutrality because I'm not dependent on you or physical or material things? So I have to ask myself that often to see how far away I am or what's blocking me from having a relationship with God, because quite often things come up, people come up, and that blocks my relationship from God. These old ideas and beliefs on how everyone else should be. I got married out on the beach. I live here in Sandy Hook and near Atlantic Highlands, New Jersey, and I just had my immediate family and my dad and my stepmother showed up. They were the only people on my side of the family. I was able to show up and be present because I was able to ask God to remove these things from me so that I could be a blessing that day instead of thinking about me. To not let the common manifestations of self, which defeat me, get in the way of being present on a day that's not all about me. And so we had a beautiful wedding. Someone in AA married us. It was a beautiful 20 minutes quick wedding. And as we left, we were going to down on the shore, further down south to have a beautiful dinner right on the ocean. A 15 minute drive ended up turning in an hour and a half. And I had to call the restaurant and ask them to please hold that reservation. I know how extremely late we are. We're stuck in traffic. And they said, we don't know how long we can hold it for you. When we finally get to that town, there's not a parking spot within 2 miles. An Instagram influencer had gone on Instagram and told everyone to come to the beach that day. Am I living in a position of neutrality, safe and protected by God? Or am I living up here of the things that I want and think that I need to be okay? Where am I about to be disconnected from God and not see the beautiful miracles that are right here, right now? My head where my feet are at. So we drive down the road a few more miles to a local town and there's not a restaurant there that has an opening. I was able to be present and to be a blessing because I'm here to serve God and his other kids and not turn into Bridezilla and be a terror because I need something's missing. And it's thanks to this program and knowing the reactionary narcissistic emotions or defaults that I can go to. That it's in that moment, God, I'm going to continue to ask for a new perspective. See, step 6 and 7 isn't something I just say in the morning and hope things are going to go well. I believe step 6 and 7 are an in the moment as things crop up. In the 12 and 12, Bill says, why didn't God strike us white as snow? He doesn't take away all my defects of character. He takes away 1, 2, and other ones pop up. I think God didn't take away my defects of character because it's a way for me to connect with God as things creep up, as things happen. I believe 6 and 7 are an in the moment step and the heart of our steps because there's so much the heart of my day because I always default to these old ideas and beliefs. I'm walking my dog last year and she poops and I go to pick it up with the poop bag and my finger goes through the poop bag and I'm upset because I have dog poop on my finger. I never throw it in anybody's trash can because I know what happens when they People throw them in mine. It always sticks to the bottom of my trash can. But on this day, I was upset and I just wanted to get home. And I tossed it in somebody's trash can. A woman saw me do it. And she was on the phone with her friend and got out of her car and started to scream at me for having thrown that in the trash can. And I feel that emotional rise cropping up through my esophagus where I'm going to react. Because again, I have reaction chips. I've never known how to respond to people. And so in that moment, when I feel that emotion, when the ego's trilogy, I look at it as like a triangle. There's fear, anger, and guilt. Whenever I react from fear, anger, and guilt, that is the bondage. Thank you, Sandy. That is the bondage of self. That is the manifestations of self that are going to set the wheels in motion. So I know whenever I'm in fear, anger, or guilt, that the best thing that's going to come out of my mouth isn't going to be pretty and that I shouldn't be saying anything and I need to zip it. So I felt that anger cropping up because that's where I default to, because anger feels like some kind of power to me, but anger is really fear. But I always default to anger because lack of power is my dilemma. I want some kind of power. I used anger to manipulate people to get you to act right. And so I realized that that's what I'm about to default to. And then the second thought is sarcasm. Well, you know, she's, you know, are you even a garbage man? It's in that moment that I realized that I need to have a connection to God. And the awareness of where I'm defaulting to is my step six. The step seven is the humility to go to God in that moment and ask God for a new perspective. Because if I show up, it's not going to be pretty. And so in that moment, I'm able to ask God, in that pause in between the gaps of my emotions, God, give me a new perspective. And I simply asked her, because this is not me. Me is 3 days later walking by your house, keying your car. Would you like me to go get that out of your trash can? She said, no, it's not even her trash can. And still I feel the emotional reaction in me because ego wants to react right away. Today, I know how to be uncomfortable for 3 minutes and let ego do its worst to me. She got back on her phone with her friend and told her how she told me off, got in her car and was all happy about how she'd let me have it. A few months later, I'm walking by this woman's house because you see, I don't have to avoid her house because I didn't show up the way I wanted to show up. I showed up the way God would have me be. It's a real windy day and all our trash cans are blown over and there's Budweiser's and Truly's all over the road. See, I don't know what God's plan was, but I do know that I didn't ruin an opportunity to later be helpful to her. There's an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting around the corner from our house. If she shows up at Alcoholics Anonymous, I don't have to look the other way. I know that I did what God wanted me to do, was not to react, but to respond from a place where, as one of our Don M says, seek to love, comfort, and understand rather than to be loved, comforted, and understood. See, the stories that the mind makes up and tells me that I need to let her know that I've got dog poop on my finger. Don't you know what happened to me? God changes these things in me when I'm willing to connect to him. I wish that I could show up another way on my own power, but it's not possible. It's like holding my breath. I can only do it for so long. I cannot use myself to create another version of myself. It just never worked. So I allow God to do this work through me. And often ask myself, am I placed in a position of neutrality right now where I feel safe and protected? Or is there something standing in the way of my relationship with God? Because when my relationship with God isn't right, my relationship with myself isn't right, and my relationship with you isn't right. So I love the principles in our book because they give me a new perspective and they keep me connected to God, which have given me a way of living, which I could have never imagined, where I get to a place of peace a lot more than I used to. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Beth. I'm going to stop the recording.